Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Whitfield's been a friend for more than 25 years, like a real friend. First guy to ever be good to Greg and I when we first got in the business. First guy to ever take time to really get to know us. First guy to ever really reach out to us. His band was already multi-platinum with the first EP came out. And we knew him with Z-Rock. And, of course, the first album came out. And went platinum with Everything About You, and then next one with Neighbor, and just in Cats in the Cradle, and Busy Bee, and Milkman, and a bunch of singles. And it's funny. It's one of those true old sayings. When you're really friends, you might go years without seeing somebody. Mm-hmm. And then, bam, they pop back up in your life, and it's like you'd never, ever missed a day.
You pick right back up where you left off.
It's genuinely true. And he's one of those cats, man. Well, there's a million stories. But today we're going to do a little round of where in the hell is Whitfield Crane, and why is because since the day I've known him, he's never had a place to live. He's always traveled the world with a credit card and a backpack. He has just simply decided that his money was best spent buying plane tickets and finding new experiences and meeting new people. So he is never in the same place twice when I've spoken with him, texted with him, or just get a random photograph from him. So we'll do a little round of where in the hell is Whitfield Crane. In fact, if you figure it out before the end of the interview, I'll hook you up with whatever set of tickets you want from us today. Because I've got everything from Slayer to Rob Zombie and Manson, from Breaking Benjamin, Chevelle, and 3 Days Grace, to Papa Roach with Bad Wolves, to the Monster Truck Monster Jam. And let me grab him.
The world is a big place, full of many amazing things. And there's one man who's dedicated his life to sampling the world's wonders. Which is why now, the Johnny Dare Morning Show presents a segment we like to call Where in the World is Wit? A look at the world around us with Ugly Kid Joe, frontman, world traveler, and friend of the show, Whitfield Crane.
I will tell you a couple things about it, just to keep it even. It's a place where it's got a coastal necropolis. It's over 2,500 years old. You could enjoy the sport of tombstoning. You could, let's see here. The name, I'm going to give you this. The name of the island, in translation, means larger island. And the official language is Catalan. Mr. Whitfield Crane, how are you? Are you there? Can you hear me?
I am here.
There you are.
Johnny Dare.
Hey, brother. How are you, man?
Can you hear me, brother?
How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm awesome. I'm on a day trip with some Australian friends, and we're going toward some ancient caves, and we're going to do that in about an hour. And then basically we pulled over because it had good Wi-Fi so we could do this interview, and I'm in a jewelry store.
Of course you are, man. Now, Whitfield, if you just joined the show, you guys have all, I was telling you, you've all met him with Another Animal or Ugly Kid Joe or Life of Agony. But he and I met UKJ style back in the old Z-Rock days. And it was just a friendship that seemed to fit and has never gone away. And the one constant thing, though, is that you've always been a traveler. Always. Since the day I've met you, you've never had a home.
Well, sometimes I'll get a girlfriend, and I'll be like, maybe I should do that, and then that invariably goes sour, and then I'll strap on the backpack, get the credit card out, and just go with it, you know? And hopefully, if I can couple that with music, which I do, then music, what I try to do as I manage my own affairs now is I try to make tours end somewhere that I think is attractive as far as, like, life's travails go. So, in this case...
Yeah, well, you guys just played some huge shows all through Europe.
What's that?
You were just played some huge shows all through Europe.
That's right.
Ugly Kid.
So I'll give you some keys where I'm at, because I can kind of give you a couple of keys. Ugly Kid just played this thing. It was have you heard those cruises, like a heavy metal cruise?
Yes.
And so we got on that, and we played a heavy metal cruise, which is awesome. I didn't know if it'd be cool or not, but it was super rad. anyway, then we got dumped off on a Mediterranean island, which I'm standing right now, once again, in a random jewelry store, screaming with children. And, you heard it. Yeah. So, I'm just here. Like, basically, we got dumped off on this island, and then we rented a really sweet-ass villa. The price point on these islands, they're so, like, you could go to New York and spend every penny you have on a bottle of wine, or you could, rent a villa here. So basically, we kept all the other kid guys in a villa. We're writing music, which is
fantastic.
Cool. And we also have who I'm looking at right now, who's the best, the Yellow Kid guitar player. And so everyone's dissipated and gone into the ether of their lives. We'll reformulate on June 9th and send them in play with Kiss and Death Leopard. But until then, it's just me, the guitar player for Yellow Kid, and we're writing fat riffs and getting rad and jumping in the sea.
Well, you are on an island that has a coastal necropolis, I was saying, of over 2,500 years old. You can enjoy the sport of what's called tombstoning. The official language is Catalan, and the to translation of the title of the municipality means larger island. Now, interestingly enough, there's three different pronunciations accepted and two different accepted spellings of this destination.
That's true.
And let me lock you down here real quick. I'm gonna run through some quick callers here. Let me do this real quick. Hey man, you're on the air.
Let's get this done. No one gives this out.
Sam, I got a guess.
What do you think, Sam?
Is it Crete?
It is not Crete, but you're getting close, man. John.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Is it Spain?
Yes, but you're not there yet.
Come on, man.
No, you're not quite there yet.
I'm in the right hemisphere.
You really are. You're doing good. Hey, Jeff, what do you say?
Hey, man, I was thinking it was Greenland.
It's not Greenland. You're not even close to Greenland.
I noticed that now.
Yeah, but you're getting better. You're getting better there, man. Not too bad. These guys, not bad guesses, but you're not quite there yet. Now, I'll let Jake reload that die. I was thinking about old times, Whit, and I hope you can hear me okay, but I don't think there's ever been another friend I've had that's had the journey you've had from a little beach town in playing and getting picked up, which was interesting enough for Ugly Kid Joe, which was a joke on the old hair band Pretty Boy Floyd. And you took the world by storm. And at one time, I remember seeing all of your peers, all these guys that you and I both love, from Ozzy to Lemmy to all of the people that really mattered, really always loved your band and loved you and loved that attitude that you'd bring, but you irritated all your contemporaries to no end.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's weird. Life is weird in general, as we all know, but the fact that we were able to get, you know, at that time when record deals mattered, we were able to get a record deal and then immediately go on tour with Ozzy and Motorhead, which is, you know, is our heroes. And make friends with those dudes. So, I mean, you have to be honest. Like, whether you're a DJ or a rock singer, I mean, in the end of the day, we're all music fans, and that's just a fact. So, you know, I mean, it's been cool for me, and is cool for me to be able to meet people that I, you know, look up to and to work with them, and you know, including yourself.
Well, but I mean, and thank you. But even like you think about the, you know, the late great and never to be met again, Lemmy Kilmister. You know, the fact that he accepted you so completely, and he didn't suffer a fool.
He was awesome. That guy, you know, it's interesting. He was a total gentleman, and he was so smart and witty, no pun intended. And he worked. He was, you know, he told me, Lemmy told me, which was awesome once. I used to just go on the Motorhead bus just as my backpack. I'd be like, can I go on tour? And they'd be like, yeah, you can come. So I'd be on the tour. I'd go up like a week or two. Every couple of years, in 2012 and 2014, I'd just be on the bus. And one time, I was trying to figure out, as we always are, I think all the people are trying to figure out, like, who are you or what's your title? Because, you know, I never believed in rock star or whatever those words would be. And I was talking to Lem in Newcastle, England, after the show, and he looked at me and goes, you're a working musician. And I said, oh, yes, I finally have the title. So the main thing for whatever you do, whether you're a plumber or a singer or a DJ or whatever, an astronaut, you want to work.
Right.
So he was always working. That's what he did. He worked his ass off. He didn't muck around. They went in with Motorhead when they made records. They walked in with no songs and came out with 10 every time. No bonus tracks, no nothing. You know, unless they were live bonus tracks. But yeah, he's an archetypal leader and a good dude. And he's well missed.
I was lucky. lucky to have just met him a few times, but you know that there's a certain thing that legends have. Like, he's the last real pirate. There'll never be another. And I'll argue it till the day is over. There's no chance to ever meet another. And I tell you this.
He did once. I was talking to him, and he goes, he looks randomly. He looks at me and goes, "There's only been three pirates in rock and roll." And I said, "Really? Who are the pirates?" And he goes, "Well, me, of course." And I go, "That's true."
Right.
And then the other two pirates, was I was thinking about it, I think pirates don't come with babysitters. So the other pirates, by Lenny's, description, were himself, Keith Richards, and Bon Scott. Those are the pirates, he told me.
You know what?
And then he says the architects of rock and roll are Chuck Berry and Little Richard. That's what he stuck to.
I concur, and I agree wholeheartedly, man. I think he hit it exactly right. You even caught Ozzy's eye. I remember thinking, what am I witnessing right now? Because they talked about Sabbath getting back together. This is when Ozzy wouldn't even talk to Sabbath, we all thought. And then it happened, and he sent you. And that's an incredible honor. Will you go rehearse with the band, take my place, just get them where you feel good with them, and then I will join them and we will tour? But the idea of warming up Sabbath for Ozzy after he'd left the band, rather inauspiciously, and then there was a lot of anger there. It's a pretty amazing, man.
Well, I mean, I think the bands are funny in general. I mean, I'm not in Sabbath, but I am in other bands. When you do something professionally with the band, like your ego can get in the way or whatever it be, but once you jam, you realize that's what you do. But yeah, December 3rd, 4th, and 5th, 1997, Birmingham, England, straight up. Like, I went there. I knew Bill Ward was going to play, which meant that the entire Black Sabbath band was going to be together. I called Sharon and said, "Hey, are you going to play?" She said, "Yes, he is. Come to Birmingham. It'll be cool." And then they were taping, Tom Penindio was taping those shows, two or three nights of them, for a live Sabbath record, which is totally cool. But the thing about it is, and fair enough, Ozzy didn't want to sing the whole set each day before seeing the set actually live in the NEC in Birmingham. So I got a message in my door from Bobby Thompson, and he said, "Can you help us?" And I was like, "Yes." So I did get to go to jam with Sabbath for 3 days,
God.
And in a sense was helpful, but also, was inside the matrix of the very fabric of my dreams. Like, what a trip.
Right.
So, yeah, it was great.
That's just, and there's so many stories like this. Like, we haven't even talked about, Mass Mental, talk about, the documentaries with Robert Trujillo about Jaco Pastorius and Yellow Cake and all of the stuff you've done, Life of Agony, which is Godsmack, and you, some amazing, and I think the one thing that I think is so consistent with you is the answer is yes. Somebody goes, "Would you like to, or have you ever thought of?" And the answer is yes. And you just fearlessly jump back into that, whatever the new idea is.
Yeah, I mean, once again, you want to work. You want to work, you want to evolve. There's a great, you can look it up. There's a great interview on the YouTube with David Bowie. And he was so eloquent. He's such an amazing, centered, magic dude. And he was talking about artistry. And his thing was, and when I heard this, I was like, hooray. And he said that as an artist, you want to be just out of your depth. Because then you kind of, that's where it's, when you get to a place where everything is just, you know what you're doing, even if it's safe or if it's good and it's turning people on, that's great. But like, as a true artist, it's truth to be defined, like there's an edge to it. So it's good to be out of your depth. So I seek different places innately, not as a sadist, to be kind of out of my depth, to go sing with different bands or sing with an orchestra or create something new or, make something out of nothing. And what I basically do is I kind of parachute myself into different towns around the world but just by myself with the backpack. And I meet people, I make friends, and I get creative. And that makes me feel really good. So,
Well, that's it. That's how you write. That's how you create. That's how you live. That's how, too many people get compartmentalized and they just live in a microcosm, and it stunts you, and it stunts your brain, and it stunts your creativity, and it stunts your thought process and what you know. And the thing I've always gathered is the more I realize what's out there, the more I realize I've to learn. And it's always, it makes you a little uncomfortable to go somewhere you don't know the language, where you don't know how to use the bathroom, where you don't know how to order food. But there's just going to be two kinds of people. There's people who ride, and you wonder, some people are afraid of what's over the next hill or around the next corner. It could be bad. And there are people who seek the excitement of not knowing what's over the next hill or what's around the next corner, because it could be incredible.
And I imagine that both of those reactions would be predicated on repetition. So if you've never gone outside the box, that's a scary moment, right? So
right.
Why would you go? You know, you have your repetition in your box, whatever it is, which is fine. But if innately you go, because you and I communicate, you're always on your crazy life travails, and you send pictures back and forth. I'm all, you know, where are you? Where am I? So in a sense, we do the same stuff. But the reason that there's such a turn on for me at this point is, you know, A, it's innately within me to go do it, but B, repetition. So it's not like I'm like me standing in the middle of nowhere, not knowing quite what I'm doing, is normal behavior for me at this point. But if I'd never done it, it would be terrifying.
Yeah, but I like the I really do. My favorite recent memory of that was Vietnam, because it was so foreign and impossible. There was no alphabet for me to memorize. Like, there was nothing I could grasp onto. So it was like waking up. So many times in our life, we ride home from our job to our house, and we don't even remember going there. We don't even remember how we got there.
That's right.
And then one day you're like, bam, the light switch goes on. You wake up and you realize I am alive and I'm right here right now. And I have to use every bit of what I know to get where I got to be. And that is, I'm telling you, it's the greatest feeling in the world.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Now, hold on. Let's take some more calls before I lose these guys. We'll stay right there. We got some more guesses.
Should I give a hint? Should I give another hint or no?
Yes, give another hint. This one's for Joel. Joel's on the line.
Okay. But this is a pretty obvious thing. Okay, let's have a couple calls, and if they fail, I'll give them.
All right, Joel, what do you think?
I'm going to say a little north of the Mediterranean and say Norway.
Ooh, too far north. Too far north. All right, Chris, what do you think? Wow. Hold on. Let me get rid of Joel here. 1 second here. Chris, what do you think?
I think he's in Italy.
Close, but not there. All right, what do you say, Whit?
What? My hint?
Yeah, what's your hint?
Well, I'm really into tennis, just so everybody knows out there. Like, I went last year to the Australian Open. I went to Wimbledon. I went to the French Open. And the king of clay, as you might say, so we did use yesterday for the 2 days to get to the Greek, is a man named Rafa Nadal. So I am on an island that happens to be the home of Rafa Nadal.
That's a good clue, though. You know, I don't think it's going to be super obvious to him right out of the gate. But, yes, I do know what you're saying. Hello, Robert. Where do you think he's at?
Rafa Nadal. They have a Rafa Nadal in the end of the year. He's a demigod. He's a deity. He's great. He's a lefty. He's the king of clay.
Robert, where do you think he is?
Scotland?
No. Oh, my goodness. No, not even close on that one, man. Hold on. Justin, where do you think Whitfield Crane is?
Is he in Mallorca, Spain?
Boom, boom, boom. That's the winner right there.
Well done. That's right. Spelled two different ways, accepted and pronounced three different ways, Catalan, Spanish, and English. Mallorca, Majorca, and Majorca. Either way, it's Majorca, English, Mallorca, Spanish, and Catalan. And it's in the Mediterranean island. It's fantastic. Dude, you stay right there, brother. I'm going to hook you up with that, whatever tickets you like. How about that? Not bad, Whitfield.
Radical.
Not bad. You're on your way. You're on your way to an underground cave system. Are you doing the Northwest, the Coves de Campanet?
I'm on a day trip. It's called Dratch, Dratch. I think Dratch, going to the Dratch Cave. Like crazy shit from like the 13th century. Where you go in there, it's a cavernous, and you get in a boat, and there's actually a mini orchestra down there that should be really strange and, you know, mystically odd. So we have a little... not a minivan, but like a VW van. We just entered from the airport and we're on a day trip. And I stopped in once again to Julie's store to call you.
This, by the way, are the Dragon Caves you're heading for. And it's on the East Coast near Porto Cristo. And between 11 and 5.3 million years ago, they were formed during the Miocene era. How about that business? Holy hell, man. That'll be fantastic. Yep. All right, listen.
The Jurassic Caves, mate.
I appreciate you stopping at a jewelry store to find Wi-Fi to make the call. It is not going to be easy, but it's pretty fun to find out where you are, my friend. And I know you guys are jumping into a huge rock fest festival in Finland at the first part of June, and then you kick it back off again, and you've got some more big dates going. June 9th.
Yeah, man. You rule, Johnny. I love you.
I love you, brother. I know it's been hard to hear me, but it's a lot of fun, man. I hope you have a fantastic day. Explore the caves. Text me or email me later. Let me know how everything's going, man, and we'll do this again very soon.
You know what it is? I'll take some pictures. I'll take some photos, as you do when you're on your adventures. I'll take some pictures of the Dixie Ratch Cave, and I'll send it to you. As I do have your phone number.
I will post them up on all our social media. People can enjoy what you're doing, man. You stay right there. I love you, brother. Be safe and enjoy.
Peace and love. Great.
This has been Where in the World is Whit? With Whitfield Crane, only on the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.